the guys that had, what were the men that had the sledgehammers and the chisels and the chainsaws that just massacred and just profaned the communion rails and the beautiful high altars? These people were, quote, Catholics, and they did this under whose guidance and whose direction? Right. How did that happen?
Right. Exactly. Okay, so there are, I just want to mention too, I did a long podcast about this a few weeks ago with Steve Skojec at 1 Peter 5. So if listeners are interested, they can hear even more detail about what happened. But it's a vitally important question to drill into, because I mean, a lot of Catholics today don't even realize what has been lost. And Bunini, who I'm going to talk about in just a second,
okay,
but Annibale Bunini, who was the main architect of the liturgical changes, he said in writing, this is not an anecdote, he said in writing that if only there were two generations of Catholics who could grow up without seeing the old liturgy, it would be gone forever and would never come back. Ugh. And of course he was completely thwarted in that, because there has never been a generation of Catholics without the old mass, even though it's only been a minority, but it's a growing minority now.
Sure is.
So that plan is definitely thwarted. But basically, I think there are two levels to answer your question. The first level is the official so-called concilium, this group of theologians, bishops, liturgists, so-called experts, that was formed actually during the end of the council. So, I mean, this happened very quickly, and then worked all through the 60s to produce new liturgical books for all the sacraments. So it's not just the Mass we're talking about here. We're talking about baptism, confirmation, penance, marriage, extreme unction, ordination, which was one of the most damaged of all the liturgies. We're talking about the divine office, so everything. It was a comprehensive so-called reform, and really these men, there were many of them, they were operating on the basis of two false theories, if you don't mind my defining them.
No, first, please do.
The first false theory is the corruption theory. The second false theory is the pastoral theory. The corruption theory holds, and this is largely indebted to Josef Jungmann, a German scholar, that the Mass, the pristine Mass of the Roman Rite, began to be corrupted in the early Middle Ages, that is to say, at the end of the first millennium. It began to be encrusted with additions, accretions, as they like to call them, you know, lots of extra prayers, lots of extra ceremonial actions. Now, most normal Catholics, when they study the history of the liturgy, they look at that development, they say, the Holy Spirit is leading the Church into the fullness of truth. You know, it's of course appropriate that there be more elaborate prayers and rituals added, because this is our, you know, this is how we express our faith, and we want to express it more and more fully, more and more beautifully. But they saw that as a corruption from the pure, simple, almost like living room liturgy that they imagined the early Christians had. And so they wanted to strip away all these later developments, especially the medieval ones. The medieval developments of the liturgy are some of the most beautiful things we have. Mm. And even the reformers couldn't get rid of all of that. Paul VI wouldn't let them. For instance, the Palm Sunday procession, which doesn't exist in a lot of communities, but if anyone's ever seen the Palm Sunday procession, they know how meaningful that is.
Sure.
That's a medieval addition to the liturgy. That's from the region of France. It's a Gallican addition to the Roman liturgy. In Rome, they never did a Palm Sunday procession until that custom was brought over the Alps back to Rome in the Middle Ages. So there are many things like that in our liturgy that develop slowly. This is what we call organic development.
Right.
But the corruption theory just said we want to get rid of all of those corruptions. The pastoral theory was liturgy, instead of understanding that liturgy exists primarily for the glorification of God and the sanctification of our souls, the pastoral theory taught that liturgy exists for the sake of the people to sort of instruct and educate them, and in a sense, the liturgy has to be molded to the people. It has to be adapted to where they're at, as the saying is. And so, you know, a liturgy, a very formal liturgy in Latin, which is an ancient language that people don't speak anymore, you know, that's full of hierarchical structures and gestures, right? This doesn't fit modern democratic vernacular man. So the liturgy needs to be radically modified to suit modern man. So when you put the corruption theory together with the pastoral theory, I mean, that's a witch's brew. You're going to get nothing good is going to come from that.